Chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Thank you, Royce, and thank you, ladies, for the music this morning. We really appreciate that. That helps us in singing. It's hard to sing without the pianos to get us going and giving us the note. And we appreciate all your help. Romans chapter 8 and verse, let's begin at verse 12. Romans 8, 12, 13, and 14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Putting sin to death. It's what we've been looking at for a few weeks here recently. Holiness, holiness, part of holiness is putting sin to death. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 14. So a few Sundays we're taking here to preach on holiness. Last week we looked at holiness, which is a preparation for the presence of God, being dressed in white, being separated from sin and separated unto God. Well, let's go ahead and pray before we go on here. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for the songs we can sing, the praises that we can offer up to you. And I pray, Lord, that we might be praising you throughout the day, every day, throughout the week and months and years until you take us up to be with you, or until Jesus comes again. We just pray your blessing upon us. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts, Lord. Help me as I preach, and help us all as we listen, to listen to the voice of God, to listen to what the Holy Spirit would have for us. We pray for those who are not able to be with us this morning. We think of Pat and Janice and ask your blessing upon them and their health. And we especially again bring Nancy before thee. We ask your healing hand and your help to be in her life. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Follow holiness. Without which, without holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. It's very clear. The Bible is very clear that the practice of holiness is what we have to do. The practice of holiness is our responsibility. It's my responsibility. Yes, God made me holy in Him, but I am to be holy. For in 1 Peter 1, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I can do that, and I must do that. Not perfectly, but I can do it earnestly. He has delivered us from sin's reign, and he has made provision to win the daily skirmishes against sin and against sin's power. I can, by God's grace, have victory. We are united with Christ in his power. It's not a do-it-yourself thing. I'm to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God that worketh in you to do and will and to do his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. So I'm to work out my salvation. I'm to put off the old man and put on the new. In other words, holiness is my responsibility as a blood-washed child of heaven. So, follow peace with all men and holiness. It's obedience. It's not necessarily so much victory that we have the victory as much as we obey. We just leave whether or not we have a victory or not to God. But we obey. Our responsibility is obedience. Obedience. I'm responsible. I have a responsibility to live my life as best I can by God's grace and help to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ every day, all the time. I'm to live for him. I have a responsibility. Now, some of us don't like responsibilities, do we? I'm responsible to get up when the alarm clock goes off, right? I'm responsible to pay my bills. And if I get an overdue or overdraft, uh-oh. I wasn't very responsible. I forgot all about balancing that checkbook. Or I forgot all about paying that bill. or I forgot all about doing what I promised so-and-so I would do. We did that yesterday. We were going to meet with someone, not in our church, but we scheduled to meet with someone at 11 o'clock in the morning, and lo and behold, it was 10 after 11, and we forgot all about it. Wasn't responsible. I forgot to look in the calendar. I was responsible to do that. You know, I was very irresponsible when I was a kid. I mean, I was bad. I did not do what I should do all the time. I did a lot, but I didn't. Like, I had responsibility to mowing the lawn. And you know what it's like to mow a lawn with an electric lawnmower? This is back in the 50s and 60s. For some reason, my dad thought it would be neat to have a lawnmower that you plugged in. So when I mowed, I had this huge, long, 100-foot electric cord to deal with. And I go around. Every time I go around, I have to lift the cord up and go under it. And one day, I got so mad, I thought, I'm going to show my dad what I think of this. And I ran over the cord, and I cut it in half. And I thought, there, now I don't have to mow. Was my dad happy? Did he say, Terry, I appreciate what you did. You let me know that I need to get a gas-powered mower. No, he didn't say that. He just fixed the cord. He said, well, we'll just tape it together. Then I thought, man, I don't think I better mow over it again, you know, or I might be in real trouble, you know. So, you know, I was responsible. I was responsible to take care of my car. I've told you before, I had a 64 Chevy Impala, two-tone blue and white mag wheels. It was cool. It ran. It had a 327 engine, and that thing would go. And I had fun. And one day I was running that thing fast as I could go, and I didn't realize that I needed to check the radiator once in a while. That was my responsibility, and I never did it, so I didn't do it. And guess what? My engine cracked. The block in the engine cracked, and the water all ran out. And that was the end of my 64 Chevy days. I neglected. I was not responsible. My dad, I remember my dad says, well, didn't you check the water? And I looked at him like, you mean I'm supposed to do that? He said, well, sure. You know, he probably showed me how. I don't remember. But I'm responsible. God has made provision for our holiness, but he's also given us a responsibility for holiness. God puts the responsibility of living a holy life squarely on us. In other words, I have got to do something about living the Christian life. I can't just sail through on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. We're not to stop trying and start trusting. We're to start doing. Now, I know that's a nice phrase, and I understand what it means. Quit trying and start trusting. In other words, you don't work your way to heaven. We rest in the Lord. But I work, for the night is coming. I do what I'm to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And we fall and we fail. And what do we do? We get up and we get at it again. In Colossians 3, verse 5, the Bible says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Mortify, put to death your fleshly members. Put to death your body. Mortify your members upon the earth. We're to put to death the deeds of the body. We're to mortify or put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature, because that earthly nature is not going to be an heir of heaven. It's going to be transformed, and we don't want to put too much stock in it. We're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. I'm to do something. I'm responsible to work out my salvation. I'm to work out what God has worked in. I have responsibility to work it out. We're commanded to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6. To stand against the willies of the devil, or the schemes of the devil. We're to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Well, after the great chapter of testimony of those who obeyed by faith, those who through faith acted and obeyed in spite of persecution. He then brings it home to us in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, I meant to read this earlier and didn't get it. But turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us or entangles us, and let us run with patience or perseverance the race that is set before us. So here he talks about the great heroes of the faith in chapter 11, and then he brings it home to you and me, and he says, let us lay aside every encumbrance that entangles us. He expects us to assume responsibility for running the Christian race. Okay, I need to get out in the track, and I need to run. I need to run with all of my might and all of my heart. Let us throw off the sin and let us run with perseverance. We lay aside, we throw off anything that would hinder our Christian walk, any sinful habit, any encumbrance that would keep us from being what we ought to be. And there are many encumbrances and many deeds of the body that will thwart our doing what we ought to do. We can't take up our cross to follow Christ unless we first deny ourselves. Consider the sacrifice that many, many of the brethren have made for the sake of God by faith. The saints of old who lived and suffered and endured and conquered by faith. The thousands that were burned at the stake simply for believing that Christ alone is a way of salvation. Shall not we also be willing to suffer? We may not suffer as they suffered, but we'll experience some type of suffering if we're faithful to Him. Shall I be carried through the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? We sing that great hymn. Look at verse 30 of Hebrews. Am I in Hebrews 11 or Hebrews 11, verse 30. Hebrews 11, 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. There's the victory. And it came by faith. Verse 32. And what more shall we say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the sword, of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And then verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others, and others. I underlined, circled that word, and others. What about the others? They were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, and so on, and they were sawn asunder. They were looking for a better resurrection. Where's the victory? They obeyed. They obeyed. We simply obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, and they were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves, in the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Obedience, not victory, obedience. But their memory and their testimony ought to stir us up to put away every weight, every sin, every encumbrance, and run the race set before us as they also ran. We're part of a victorious army. We all are in the Christian faith. We're part of that which has entered into the land of peace and joy and of great reward. But our eye is not on them only, but on Jesus. Notice verse 2 of chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction or hostility of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Jesus is set before us as a captain of our salvation, the author and finisher of our faith. And by faith, Jesus lived and suffered and died. And he rose again. And on account of his obedience of faith, he entered into glory, and we too shall follow him. He is the first fruits. We will follow. It's obedience, not victory. Turn to James. James chapter 4. And if you're in Hebrews, just over to your right a little. James chapter 4 and verse 7. I tell you where to go, and then I... No, wait a minute. What am I doing? James, you're right. I went left. Yeah, okay. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It is we who are to submit to God and resist the devil. I have a responsibility. You, me, I'm to resist the devil. Verse 7, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. So submit, resist, draw near, cleanse your hands, purify your heart. It's my responsibility. My responsibility. I'm to resist. Sometimes, well, the devil made me do it. The devil's working on me. Well, what am I to do? I'm to resist him. And I can. I can resist him. Look at 1 Peter 1. On over to your right, 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, 14, and 15. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope in the end for the grace that is brought unto you and the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be ye holy, right? You. That's what God says. You, Terry Post, be holy. That's my command. That's your responsibility. Not fashioning yourself, not fitting into the mold of the world, but being like Jesus, being holy. Verse, chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, you need to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I'm to do that. I have responsibility. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, 2 Peter 1, 5, and beside this, or because of this, giving all diligence, add. Who's to do that? I'm to do that. Add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, add to patience godliness, and so on. I'm to do that. I'm to do that. Add. Verse 10. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall. So it's doing, 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 adding, 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 desiring, desiring, desiring. I'm responsible and to make my election. Yes, God is the one who has elected me, but I'm responsibility to obey him then. That's my part in salvation, to respond to him, to believe in him and obey him. And if you do these things, you will not fail. Chapter 3, verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. Of 2 Peter. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What you ought to be. I'm to be somebody. I'm to be holy. That word conversation means your manner of life. In your manner of life, you're to live a holy life. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent. Make every effort to be found in him spotless, blameless. I can do that. God wouldn't command me to do something I can't do, and God won't ask me to do something he doesn't give me the strength to do. This is speaking to our wills. This is something we've got to decide to do. Most everything I do, I decide to do it. Like when I go to bed at night, I decide I'm going to go to bed. When I eat lunch, I decide I'm going to find some lunch around here. And well, I know where to look, in the potato chip drawer. And I found some good stuff to eat again. Bugles, these cheddar bugles, you know, I make that decision. I decide to do that. And I think to myself, Terry, these aren't healthy. But then I decide, you know, I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to die happy. I'm going to die happy. So we have this notion that any effort on our part to live a holy life must be in the energy of the flesh, a form of good works. And we try and we try and we fail and we fail. And we try again and we fail. And finally we decide we just have to let go and let God. Quit trying and start trusting. And we misapply a verse like 2 Chronicles 20:17, where God says to Jehoshaphat, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, just sit back, relax, and watch. No, they were to go into battle. They were to fight the enemy. But while they were fighting, they were to see the salvation of God. They were to see what God was going to do. To mean we turn it over to the Lord, and he will enable me to fight the battle of sin in my life. And seeing to depend on God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that I make no effort at all or I have no responsibility. He makes provision for our holiness, but he gives you the responsibility to use those provisions, to apply them. You see, I'm to work. My works don't save me, but my works prove. They prove me. They prove my salvation. They reveal my salvation. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua. Numbers, Deuteronomy, and that somewhere in there, Joshua, and chapter 1, verse 2, Joshua 1, 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. And God going to take him over? God says, you, Joshua, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, and the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand against you. All the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 11. pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. God has given it by his grace, but they're to go in and possess it. They're to possess their possessions. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. Chapter 3, 15. And as they that bear, this is the priests, were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and as they were coming to the Jordan River, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflows all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea and the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark and the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground till the people were passed clean over Jordan. And chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, they were just to believe that God had given them the city, and God was going to give them the city. In verses 3 to 5, they simply were to obey by walking around the city 7 times with their trumpets, blowing their trumpets, but God would give them the victory. So is God's sovereignty with man's responsibility? And we see that all through the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is working in you and me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We need to rely on the Spirit in our putting to death the deeds of the body. It's the Holy Spirit who differentiates Christianity from morality, from legalism, from false Puritanism. The Holy Spirit will show us the difference. Our attitude shouldn't be a self-defeatist attitude, well, I just can't do it. But rather it should be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Numbers 13:30, as the Israelites were coming to the Jordan and about to enter in the land, Caleb said, let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it. And this is while all the other Israelites were complaining, and they were saying, oh, we're like little grasshoppers. We'll never be able to do it. They're going to kill us. They're going to slaughter us. This is terrible. We shouldn't have never come here. And Caleb said, just shut up, and let's go in. God's given us the victory. We're well able to overcome it, because he knew God was leading them. We should never complain of the lack of ability or power. God has given it to us. We ought to complain about our disobedience and our faithlessness. If we sin, it's because we choose to sin, not because we lack the ability to say no to temptation. We choose to sin. Every time I sin, it's my choice. Every time I worry, I choose to worry. Been worrying about things lately? I confess, I'm guilty, and I say, I'm a worrier, and I'm reminded then, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I'm not trusting God when I worry. I choose to worry. I choose to be happy. I choose to be faithful. I choose to worry and not to trust. It's time we face up to our responsibility of holiness. We always say, well, I'm just defeated by this sin or that sin. No, we're not defeated. We're simply disobedient. So we should say, I'm disobedient to the Lord, and I've committed this sin or that sin. You know, it may mean be better and more accurate to stop using the words victory and defeat in describing our progress or lack of progress in holiness. Well, I'm really been defeated by such and such, or I'm getting the victory. You know, when we say I'm defeated by some sin, I'm really getting out of the responsibility to face up to doing something. Say, no, I'm responsible to obey God in this situation. Or I might say, well, the devil's sure after me. Well, he is. I know that. But I'm still responsible. I don't pray to the devil. I don't say, devil, I wish you quit bothering me. No, I trust God. I do my part. And say, if I say, well, I'm disobedient, that puts it all back in my lap. And the responsibility for sin is on me. And we may indeed be defeated, but the reason we're defeated is because we've chosen to disobey. I'm pro-choice. I make the choice to disobey. We've chosen to think lustful thoughts. We've chosen to let anger rule. We've chosen to gossip. We've chosen to drink alcohol or try drugs. This erroneous way of thinking is evident in the terminology we use to get out of responsibility. We don't call sin sin anymore, right? What a pornographer, someone dabbling in pornography, we say, well, he's sick. He's sick. No, he's not sick. He's full of sin. A rapist or a child molester is sick. Is that scriptural? A drunkard is an alcoholic or he has a disease. A homosexual has a different lifestyle. We say a transgender is confused. Much of what we call mental illness is a term to shirk one's responsibility for his own action. Not everything, but much of it is. We say not guilty by reason of insanity. And sometimes you say, well, anyone that would murder someone in cold blood is insane, so they're all not guilty by reason of insanity. You carry it too far, and sometimes we do. Our society is permeated with these false labels, and we bought into it. And what a difference it can make in America if people were held accountable for their actions. But we're not today. When we see it over and over, every day in the news, that's what it's all about. It's about people not being accountable for their actions. But I'm responsible. I'm accountable for my thoughts, my attitudes, my actions at home, my attitude towards my children, towards my spouse, my speech, my time that I give my children, my spouse, my anger that I let loose on my family. I'm responsible for that. Say, well, it's just my nature. It's just the way I was born. Well, yeah, we're all born sinners, right? That doesn't mean I live in sin. God's given me a way to have victory over that. I obey. At work, my attitude, my actions at work, I'm responsible for it. Towards God, towards the Bible, towards other believers. If we're going to make progress in our pursuit of holiness, we need to accept our responsibility and appropriate God's supply. And I can do that. And I can say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We sing, work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours, work while the dew is sparkling, work mid springing flowers, work when the day grows brighter, work in the glowing sun, work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Obedience. Work. We work for the Lord and we rejoice while we work. We whistle. We whistle while we work, right? Let's be what we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will help us as we determine to go forth in his name, and we can say, indeed, thanks be to God who gives me the victory because I was obedient. May God help us to do that. Let's bow our heads and our hearts in prayer, and maybe God has spoken to your heart in some way, and if he has, maybe take time to thank him for that, to reflect upon that, and ask him what he would have you to do in response to his working, what he would have you to be, and what steps that he would have you to take. Maybe it's Bible reading. Maybe it's my attitude, my actions in the home towards my spouse, my children, my parents. They haven't been what they ought to be, and I need to make that right with God. Maybe to other believers, or maybe to people on the job that I work with. You can get things right. You can make things right with the Lord if you just are willing to obey. So God help us here as we close. to respond to the Lord's leading in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us to do right. Help us to be right. Help us to look to you and find strength and the ability and your power and your Holy Spirit's power to do what's right, to live for you and honor you and serve you with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love those all around us with all our heart. Bless, Lord, as we close, if there be any here who do not know Christ as Savior, I pray today they would come to trust you as their Lord and Savior. Help us just be obedient, to honor you, to live with you with all our heart, Lord, and we just will give you the glory for all that you do. Thank you for the hope that you've laid up before us in our trusting in you for salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn